Hello, everyone.
Hello, everyone. You're listening to Espresso Epilogues.
Episode one, baby.
It's a podcast where we are two besties and we talk about books over coffee.
Hence, Espresso Epilogues.
My name is Eriphili. I'm 23 years old. I'm from Greece.
And my name is Aspa, and I'm also 23 years old, about to be 24, also from Greece.
So you've got two Greek besties giving you great book recommendations.
Let's go.
And today, for the very first episode, we thought it was fitting to start by talking about our favorite books, some books that each one of us considers to be five solid stars, so that you can go read them and be confident that they're probably going to be really good.
I completely agree. So listen up, guys.
You start.
Me? All right.
Let's do this.
Typical in Greek fashion, my coup de coeur, if you will. Actually, we speak French. I'm going to say it like a French person. My coup de coeur is My Family and Other Animals by Gerald Darrow.
Haven't read it.
You haven't read it?
No.
Wow. It's one of my favorite books. It's a setting. It's about a family that migrates down to Greece from the UK, from England, if you will.
Yeah, you've told me about it.
Yeah, and they come down, and this is written in the perspective of Gerald, the youngest, who is just completely fascinated by nature and by creatures, and he just writes down what he observes. And I think what made it so special for me was the fact that I have a house in Corfu. So it's very, reading it in Corfu, it's like I see the setting. And I actually read it in the area he was too.
That's so nice.
So it's very, very special.
It's very immersive.
And very immersive. And he has this, the most keen, beautiful appreciation for nature.
I love that.
It's beautiful.
Is it like mainly about nature, or is it also just family?
It's family stuff
coming
too.
Coming of age.
Yeah, coming of age. His family, like his siblings growing up, his sister dating for the first time, and his mother being overprotective, and just the way they perceive everything. It's just a funny family chronicle, if you will.
I love that.
Beautiful. Love it. 5 stars. 6 out of 5, actually.
What kind of reader would you recommend it to?
Any, honestly.
You think it's like a
serious,
good general,
lighthearted? Yeah, it's a kid's book to begin with. I think most kids study it in school if you are to read it, but it's enjoyable by anyone, really.
Nice.
There's a TV show now about it too.
I didn't know.
It's set in Corfu. Yeah.
I'm gonna read it. Is it long?
I don't know. I think it's about 250 pages?
Oh no, that's perfect.
Yeah,
perfect book length.
It's a good gift I would give to someone, like, in, like, if they were leaving from Greece, I'd be like, here is your parting gift.
That's so nice.
Isn't it sweet?
My Family and Other Animals.
I love it.
Is the author Greek?
Yeah. No, he's
Is it a true story?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's 100%. Yeah.
Wow, nice.
It's like an autobiographical thing.
That's so nice.
Right. It's beautiful. And they have, like, the brother Lawrence has also written a lot of very interesting books too, and so they're just very respected in Corfu. You can see their statues in the town.
Oh.
Yeah, it's pretty beautiful.
I love that. I'm definitely
like
gonna read it, actually.
Yeah, I highly recommend it.
And I love the setting, like Corfu as a book setting.
Oh, I can just hear the cicadas.
That's so cute.
You know?
Yeah.
It's cute, it's adorable. Alright.
It's really nice.
Now I want to hear about your top book.
Okay. Well, these are not in order because that is too much pressure.
Okay, fair enough.
But the first one I wrote down is called Surely You're Joking, Mr. Feynman. And it's technically by Richard Feynman, but it's basically a transcription of stories he's told out loud, you know? So it's kind of an autobiography, but he didn't actually sit down and write it.
Nice.
So Richard Feynman is a Nobel Prize winning physicist who I knew nothing about until I read this book. And the reason why I love this book, and everyone I've recommended it to has also really loved it, is because basically, it's just about Richard Feynman's life. It's not very much like an actual account of his life from start to finish. It's more like anecdotes from his life. And he's a man that had so many passions and so much curiosity for life. So, of course, like, he discovered Nobel Prize winning things in physics, but he also was interested by playing the bongos and just decided to become, like, a bongo expert, and he played in a parade or, like, an orchestra or something. He actually, if this is factually inaccurate, I'm sorry, it's been a while since I read it, but
was it something you read in school?
No, I read it last year or 2 years ago. He just learned foreign languages and mastered them. When he was in the Manhattan Project,
he learned
to pick locks just for fun.
What?
And he was teaching others how to, like, break into safes.
Stop it.
So he was a very fun guy, and he was very cheeky. He was teasing everyone, and he has all these anecdotes of him just, like, living life just to live life. You know, he did a lot of things just because. And I'm someone that thinks a lot about being multi-passionate and what that means and how, like, all the different sides of myself fit in together.
Fair enough.
And he was exactly like that, unapologetically so, you know? Like, he is a physicist, but he also did, like, 20 other things that he put so much energy and effort and passion into.
Beautiful. So and he doesn't limit himself to physics. He does.
Exactly.
I love that so much. What yeah. an interesting person.
He's a super interesting person. Was. But yeah, like, the book just inspires you to live life and, you know.
Fair enough.
It's, and follow your curiosity and your inspiration. It's beautiful.
Okay.
I really like it.
I like that.
Your turn.
Like you said yourself, in no particular order, my next book would be The Island of Missing Trees. I actually read this first book of the year, 2023. It's a beautiful book. It's about the Civil War in Cyprus, and it's got two interweaving timelines. The first timeline is of, yes, it's about a young protagonist who is from Greece. He's a Greek Cypriot, and mm-hmm. his love, that's a Turkish Cypriot, so... Mm-hmm. Can't give you too much background on the Cyprus Civil War. You might have to look that up. But in essence, these two cultures are at war with each other, and these two kids fall in love. So it follows their relationship. And they basically meet to hide. They meet at this tavern that's hidden behind this beautiful fig tree. So it's so wholesome. Right. And so what happens is also we have an interweaving timeline of the father, older, now living in London, and his young daughter.
Oh.
And he is, at the start of the book, he's completely, like... infatuated by the fig tree that he's trying to protect against the storm. So it's really, really interesting, and you're wondering, wait, where is the mother? What's the daughter? Why is the daughter hidden? What is with this fig tree? And I mean, there's no spoilers because it's on the back, but in essence, right, you kind of, as you progress through the book, you kind of understand their stories, and it's just such beautifully, once again, like, and there's also at points there is narration from the fig tree. So the fig tree has a perspective.
That's
yeah.
so cool.
It's beautiful. I loved it so much.
Is it sad?
I definitely shed some tears.
Okay.
So it ends, like, it's got like, it doesn't, I'm not going to tell you the ending, but like, there's, it's like, it's, how do I put it? It's like you sad cry. No, you happy cry in a sense. You're like, oh, it's wholesome. You
I
know?
See, yeah.
It's like a heartwarming story. Just in moving. A sense. It's a move. Thank you.
Yeah.
That's the word I was looking for. Thank you. Yeah. Okay. A moving story.
That sounds great.
What else was I going to say? Yeah, recommend it. I would recommend it to anyone, honestly. I think... it's an easy read. It's not difficult language. It's just, if you're in a place where you're like, I want a touching love story, then this is it.
Nice.
This is it.
Is it? How long?
I'd say about 350 pages as well.
Good length.
Yeah, it's a good length. It's not yeah. a mammoth, unlike some of the other books on my list here.
Yeah. Perfect.
You're on, girl. What's
I'm
your next
on.
Book?
Okay. My next book, I'm going to go with Crime and Punishment
ooh,
next.
Ooh.
So, tough. Everyone listening to this, has probably heard of Crime and Punishment. I read it this year, so it's by Dostoevsky, classic Russian book.
Hey.
It was my first introduction to Russian literature. I haven't read Tolstoy or any other very popular Russian literature books yet, but I started with Crime and Punishment and Dostoevsky. It was recommended by a friend, and I trust his opinions, and I just... like, I really didn't know what to expect, because it's a long book. It's like, I don't remember how
and
many
it's
pages.
It's not an easy
is it
subject,
six,
too.
Probably over 600 pages.
Certainly.
I can't remember.
I think all classics like
yeah.
that are lengthy.
Yeah. Obviously, it's not an easy subject. So, the premise of the book is that it follows this one guy who decides to commit a murder. And, I mean, just like that, kind of. He decides to commit a murder. He commits the murder very early in the book.
Okay.
And the rest of the book follows him... living with his feelings post-murder, because he's a very normal
oh,
young guy normally.
Okay.
Living with his feelings post-murder, it explores his guilt and just his thoughts. It's a lot of internal monologue. And I know this probably doesn't make you feel like picking it up, but Dostoevsky has such a gift for building characters and scenes
okay.
and through them exploring huge moral questions.
So is it existential?
It's,
like,
yeah,
that, okay.
it's definitely existential.
Definitely like
he
that.
Addresses huge moral questions. His characters are so well built, in my opinion, and very interesting to follow. And I mean,
okay.
one thing that you're going to come to know through this podcast is that I love books that are very character-driven.
Mm-hmm.
Like, some people prefer plot-driven books, and I love them, of course, but I need books to be character-driven. And if I don't feel... drawn to know more about the characters and I don't care about them, then I'm just not gonna like the book. Dostoevsky builds the characters so well, and it just makes you want to know more about them, makes you want to follow them. It's very immersive.
Is there a plot, though? Like, does it actually go somewhere? Or
it
is
does.
It just...
It follows the consequences post-crime and his path to getting caught.
Oh, so he's not caught at first.
No, he's not caught at first.
Okay.
There's a lot of side characters. There's family. There's love.
Is it like a big time span, or is it like a relatively short?
There's madness. I actually don't remember how long it spans. I don't think it's too long. Maybe like a couple of months.
Oh, that's short. Okay, that's nice. That's interesting.
And it's a very immersive book. So I read it in a week, which is a long book, and I love when long books make you really want to just like sit and read them for a long time. I read Dostoevsky's The Idiot after that. And
how was that?
Some people prefer it over Crime and Punishment. For me, it took me like 2 months to finish because it just wasn't as immersive and I wasn't that drawn into it. But, you know, we're going to explore that in a different episode.
Fair enough.
Still very interesting book. But for me, Crime and Punishment is just a classic that you need to read, especially if you like philosophy.
Mm-hmm. I like that. Well said, Ari.
You next.
Okay, friends. My next book is The Love Songs of W.E.B. Du Bois by the wonderful, and I don't want to butcher this, her name is Honoré Fanon Jeffers. This book is a mammoth, by the way. Just saying, I think it's about 900 pages long. Damn. So if you're going to commit, you better commit. It's a beautiful read. Once again, another a lot of interweaving timelines. It actually follows a family from five generations back into like the roots of slavery in the deep south of the United States.
Wow.
It's not, in a sense, trying to... I don't think its primary goal is to denounce slavery. I think we've gotten to a point where we all know that, you know, slavery is one of the most atrocious incidents of, you know, humankind. However, what we're doing is we're following the character development of, you would like this actually, of Ailey. And her understanding of this double consciousness she lives, like, as an American, but also as her ancestors who were, like, newly freed slaves.
Oh, interesting.
So it's very, very interesting. And then she explores girlhood and growing up and you know, like, and understanding that, like, no family's perfect, all families are flawed.
Mm-hmm.
And to be completely honest with you, because it's so big, I'm certainly leaving out a lot of important factors into this, but I would really recommend this to anyone who's kind of not necessarily having an existential crisis, but someone who's just looking for, like you said, character development. But also, this could, you know, in my understanding, reading about character development is also kind of self-help.
Yeah.
Because you get to see someone else develop through life and kind of understand that we all deal with difficulties, right?
Yeah.
So, to me, this was therapeutic, in a sense.
That's really nice.
I really, really liked it. It's beautifully written. The writing is gorgeous. So many. I actually believe that the author is a professor. She's a poet too.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So she's a professor, but she also is a poet. So she's got just the most intricate, extensive. Like, it's so flowy and pretty and descriptive.
I love that.
Just go for it. Read it.
Do you feel you could relate with the main character in some ways?
She's relatable. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And her sisters too. So she's got two sisters, an older and a younger one.
Mm-hmm.
Or I think she's either the youngest or the middle one, but it's like you know her.
Yeah.
It's not you are her, you know her. She's
your
friend.
You're very drawn into the characters.
Very much so.
I would love it for sure.
Very much so, yeah.
Yeah.
But I just gotta say, like, trigger warning, a lot of graphic, talks about, you know, a lot of violence, assaults, abuse, but it really is beautiful, in a sense.
That sounds really interesting.
It's lovely. 4.5 ratings.
No
4.5.
4.5 average on Goodreads.
Average on Goodreads.
It's super high.
That's high. 4.52.
Damn.
It's got a lot of ratings, so pick your copy up today.
Love that. Very nice. Well,
Thank
I'm sold,
you.
To be honest.
I'm glad.
So, my next one is going to be The Secret History.
Hey, let's go.
Let's go.
The dark academia rolling in.
Donna Tartt, I love you.
If you're listening to this.
So, I love this book so much. It's a dark academia classic. It's so character driven too. So The Secret History was like my first introduction to dark academia, and it follows a group of friends at a university in the US. They also commit a murder. It's not really a spoiler. I think it says it at the beginning. Fun fact is I forgot that as I was reading, that we already knew there was going to be a murder. And then I was like,
did I spoil it?
Yeah, I was like, wait, what? But
you have a copy right here. We could literally just pull it up.
Oh yeah, well, of course. I have a copy.
Well,
in Greece. I have a copy in London where I live because every winter I'm in a mood to pick it up again. So what's the first sentence? Yeah, Aspa just picked it up.
There's such a thing as the fatal flaw, that showy dark crack running down the middle of a life exists outside literature. I used to think it didn't. Now I think it does.
Oh my god.
And I think that mine is this, a morbid longing for the picturesque at all costs.
Oh my god. I can hear this in Donna Tartt's voice because if you've heard the
that
audiobook,
is what I want
her
to
voice is incredible. It's so nice to listen to.
That's the funny thing is this, you know how the audiobook,
it's so good.
It's good, but also it's so different to what I expected, because when you think dark academia, I think Oxford and like Harvard and New England, and I think Ivies and
yeah.
prestige and money.
Mm-hmm.
And then Donna Tartt was raised in the South, so she's
yeah.
a Mississippi girl. So she reads it and she's like, my family, Richard, Bonnie. And I was like, I loved it. And then she does, when she speaks, like...
She's a queen.
She's a... Oh my goodness, she's a genius.
She is a genius.
She's an absolute genius.
So, Donna Tartt releases one book every 10 years. I mean, that's been her track record so far.
So she only has two so far, right?
Three. She has a little friend. The ratings aren't that good, so I haven't read it yet. And she has The Goldfinch, which I read and I loved. Mm-hmm. And The Secret History. If anyone listening has any clues, let me know what she's working on. I'm so excited. I will be there the day she releases it. So I realize I haven't really said much about the book itself, but it follows these friends and just like their crazy relationships with each other. They are very into Greek classics and the classical world.
I love
and,
that.
And, you know, they're very flawed. They're very, very flawed. And there is a main character, Richard, who tells the story, and he kind of like enters their friend group after they are already all very tightly knit with each other, and he starts understanding what their relationships are all about and getting to know them better and witnessing all of these crazy things, but also getting more and more drawn into their dark classical world. I absolutely love this book, and I want to read it every winter, and I think that you should read it from October to December.
No
unless
facts.
Unless you live
facts.
In Australia.
Don't read it then. Then read it in June to September.
It is
yeah.
a winter read. It's like you have to read it
it's
when it's foggy
read,
outside.
Right?
It's such a cozy read.
Also, like, they describe, like, the cold.
Yeah.
Like, Richard's freezing at one point in the story.
Right,
so,
yeah.
It doesn't make sense to read it at the beach.
And the prose, as you can hear from that sentence that Aspa read out, is beautiful.
Yeah,
as,
Donna Tartt,
yeah.
kudos. Seriously, woman. I don't know what you do, but
to
just
me,
keep writing.
Donna Tartt combines excellent prose, characters,
okay.
and plot, which is very rare to find. I almost
beautiful.
Never find all three, and I find it with Donna Tartt, so I love her.
Maybe she'll be like, I wonder if this could be the next classic, like...
Yeah,
like,
I think so.
Can in 100 years this be considered a classic? Like,
oh, 100% to me.
I love that.
To me, yeah.
I want it to be.
Plus, she looks like someone that would
she does.
Go down in history as,
right.
you know, a classic.
Just the like the
writer.
Oh, it's just a masterpiece. I agree with you.
She's an artist, and she's a genius.
She's truly a genius, sincerely.
So yeah, this is a Donna Tartt fan club.
Let's go, Donna.
So, your turn.
My turn. Okay, my next book is actually... I don't know why I like this one so much. Slightly big, it's 550 pages, and it's Middlesex by Jeffrey Evgenides, or Eugenides, if you're not from Greece. So, Middlesex kind of tells the story of a family traveling to the 1920s. They're fleeing Greece because of the Ottoman Empire, so they flee, and it follows a story of these siblings. Their mom and dad are on the ship, and they settle into a developing industrial America, as we all know. Like, Detroit, the Motor City, they all flee there because there's just promise for labor, promise for money, and we love that. So, what's really interesting about it, too, is that this book is told in the perspective of Calliope,
mm-hmm.
if you will. And Calli is, like, not in feeling good, like, in her own skin.
Mm-hmm.
And as, you know, Kali's kind of growing up, Kali is also unraveling her family's history. And I'm afraid I can't give you the gist of it, because you're just going to have to read that. But it's beautifully written, for one. But it also kind of just, dissects the Greek-American psyche, along with, like, just what migration is like and what, you know... the promised land is about. And I think that's something that all of us have ties to, whether you're from Greece, whether you're from Africa, for instance, South Africa, Zimbabwe, anywhere you could be. There's always history of migration in families. And so it's, the narration is incredible, in my opinion.
You describe it so well.
Thank you so much.
I love it. Yeah.
Thank you so much. I definitely will do better in next episodes, having a better prepared one. But I certainly think that, like, it's not a read for everyone. It's a difficult read. I don't think I would have been able to read this in high school. I think it's kind of a little too
in
developed.
In what way?
It's got a lot of, not the themes, but it's kind of, I think you need to have experienced life a little bit to understand why this is so deep, in a sense, and understand what it's like to grow up and not feel good in your skin. I'm not saying that you have to have lived that, but you need to have, like, experienced parts of life. I mean, granted, there might be some geniuses out there who've read this who are 12 and are like, I get it. I feel it. I lived it. But I'm not one of them, let's be real. And it's, I think the one part, I think part of the book is a little bit just repetitive. It's just storytelling, but that's just slightly towards the end, but, you know, you can skip through that pretty quickly.
I see.
Overall, beautiful read. Also, it's got a lot of Greek, it throws in a lot of Greek words, like kukla. And I'm like, yeah, it's cute. It's cute like that.
I love that so far your books all have some relation to Greece.
They really do so far, yeah.
Yeah, it's so interesting because I haven't read almost any books
like
that.
It's about migration. Yeah, I think all of them are about migration. Wow.
That's so interesting. I guess you really love the...
I really do like the historical aspect of it.
Movement, historical aspect, part of it.
My cousin's actually doing a PhD in migration right now, so...
That's so interesting. Wow.
How crazy is that? So, anyway, I mean, listen, it's not a big deal. If I were you and wanted to read this book, I'd just have a dictionary next to me for the couple times that you will need it. It's not like every other page. Regardless, beautiful story. Read it.
Very nice.
Thank you. Thank you. You're up, queen.
So my next one is Educated by Tara Westover.
Tell me about it.
So this one is a memoir. It's the memoir of Tara Westover, you guessed it, who grew up in a family, I think in the US. Also, I read it a few years ago, so I'm not too sure on the details, but grew up with a family that didn't believe in schools and government. They didn't send their kids to school because they thought the government is brainwashing you. They refused to go to doctors when they were sick, and they were just, you know, living life on their own terms. And Tara Westover was a kid during that phase, and she describes the life of herself and her siblings with those parents that were kind of forcing them into this life and weren't really letting them learn about the world and experience the world in a normal way. And basically, the book reads very much like fiction. Like, you keep forgetting that it's not fiction because the story is so crazy.
Is it really that,
it's truly crazy.
Wow.
You read some things and you're there's no way. She just... You know, it was a really wild family life because of all these reasons. Some point, they get heavily injured. I remember, working for their dad, but their dad refuses to treat them with an actual doctor.
Stop
or something. Yeah, you know, really wild. And basically, the interesting thing is that she broke out of this family, and she went on to study at Cambridge or something like that. She just... really broke out of it and went out into the world, and she was so intelligent and allowed herself finally to just learn about the world and pursue degrees and finally get all this knowledge that she was denied all her life.
Nice.
And it turned out that she was very talented in her fields and just very keen to get out there in the world, and her story is very inspiring. I read it so long ago, I think 2019. And I just still remember how, it's a page-turner.
Is it really?
It is.
Okay.
It really is.
And I like
that a lot. I kept forgetting that it's not fiction. I kept having to remind myself, damn, that's a true story. Because it doesn't feel like it
at all.
It
doesn't feel like it at all?
No.
I have beef with the marketing team because they really marketed this as, an airport book.
No.
They really did.
It was
the cover,
an airport book.
At least to me, every time I would see it, and also, I mean, I hate to say it, but the title Educated makes me feel like it's, a self-help book. That's what I thought of it. And... I mean, that's on me for not turning it around and actually reading the back cover, but I certainly have always shied away from it just because I thought it was just a self-help book.
Interesting.
I really want to read this and see how she overcomes this kind of background.
It's a very, very interesting memoir, and I love a good memoir.
I love a good memoir, I was just going to say.
And of course, she's an academic, so her writing is great.
Oh, wow. Where is she from, by the way? She is from... She went to Trinity College, Idaho. Wow.
Can I see?
Yeah, go ahead. I'm on her wiki page.
So she's from Idaho. She has received the National Humanities Medal in 2023 at the White House.
At the White House, too. No way.
She's a memoirist, essayist, and historian. The New York Times ranked Educated as one of the 10 best books of 2018. And she's also been chosen by Time Magazine as one of the 100 most influential people of 2019.
Wow.
She earned a master's degree at Cambridge and
Queen.
Then was a visiting fellow at Harvard. Anyways, she's very inspiring. Highly recommend.
All right, y'all. Last recommendation on my end is the one and only A Little Life by Hanya Yanigahara, I think.
I think you said that well.
Yeah. Eiffeli will also help me on this because, for one, it's a book like no other.
It is a book that stays with you.
You will not forget it Mm-mm. once you read it. And if you do...
That's weird.
Yeah. What is wrong with you? But also, what is wrong with you for picking it up in the first place if you've already read it?
It is one of these books that you're like, I can't recommend this to you in good conscience.
Right.
I can't. You cannot get it to someone as a gift. You can't tell someone, oh, you should read this. There are a million trigger warnings for this book,
mm-hmm.
first of all.
Mm-hmm.
Not even gonna get into them, but look them up before
look
you
them
read
up.
It.
There's probably like you're gonna be scrolling for 10 minutes,
yeah,
getting through all those trigger warnings.
It's a crazy, crazy book.
You may be asking, why do we want to read this if there are so many problems? Well, for me at least, I was at a place in life when I read it. I was graduating university, and I was like, I want to feel something.
Yeah,
my whole life was just reading and papers and training, and I just wanted something different. I wanted something humanly,
mm-hmm.
just something to really, you know, get under my skin and
move you.
Yeah, and it really did.
Mm-hmm.
It's all I wanted it for, and it hasn't gone under my skin since.
Yeah. How would you describe what this book is about? I think you're good at describing books.
Thank you. Thank you. That's very sweet.
Of course.
Well, again, another mammoth. It's around 800
oh, yeah.
pages. It tells the story of four young men, and they're in New York, fresh graduates, and it kind of explores their lives.
And friendship.
And friendship and how it develops. Of course, it's centered around Jude, who is the protagonist that has sincerely lived possibly one of the most...
Traumatic
events in his life. And it's not like...
I get chills just thinking,
yeah,
about,
thinking
it
about
just
it.
Now.
It's so sad. It's so incredibly sad. Jude was an orphan... Grew up in a foster home, so you can, you know, the imagination will take
religious
you from there.
Religious issues. Abuse.
So much. Just unescapable abuse.
It's one of these books where reading about Jude's past, I had to put it down multiple times, which I'm not like that.
Right.
I had to put it down type of person with books. A Little
Right.
Life, truly, oh my god. I remember reading about some scenes.
Right.
I had to, like, skim through it because I didn't want to bring myself to actually visualize what I was reading because it was too intense.
I'm also thinking there are, I mean, aside from, like, you cannot exactly, how do I even put this? See, this is what this book does to you. It leaves you, it's lost for words. There is also an aspect of romance and relationships and, like, love, so that's something that's absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, very beautiful.
But I think... Keep in mind that ultimately this is a difficult book to read. It's not a romance book. Don't pick it up if you want something romantic.
Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely not.
So I wrote about this book.
Did you write about this book?
I did. I wrote a very long review
Are
about
you,
it.
Oh my goodness.
But I...
How long ago was it, by the way?
2021. I read it
okay.
during the
oh,
COVID lockdown.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. You read it early 2021.
Mm.
Okay.
So I... wrote, how do you rate a book that is so disturbing and at the same time actually shifts something in you? A Little Life is by far the most painful book I have ever heard, and I've read a lot of painful books. It left me dizzy and disoriented, wondering how I can continue the challenge I've set myself of reading every single day, because genuinely I felt like I had to take a break from it. So I basically think that this book takes you to a place that fiction rarely reaches. The issues it deals with are very, very important, and it's just a whole new level of emotional as a book.
Agreed.
And also, you just kind of can't give it less than 5 stars because of how powerful it is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it feels like more than a book, right? Mm-hmm. But as I said, you hesitate to recommend it to friends and family.
I don't think you can.
Yeah. And I also really loved the characters of Jude and Willem. And Harold. Do you remember Harold?
Don't remember. Oh my goodness. I think really that was my favorite one. Yeah. I think that was my favorite one. I think I can't say much because it's just, it's something you need to have read to understand
mm-hmm.
in order to feel like the warmth of certain characters. And it's one of those things where it's, I remember I was going to read it somewhere and in the lift I was holding it. This one man comes up to me and he's like, are you reading A Little Life?
Oh my God.
And I was, I think, halfway through. I had my bookmark in it.
Yeah.
And I was like, I am, and it's really sad. And he was like, girl.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at him and I'm like, please tell me it gets better. And he goes, girl.
Yeah.
Girl. It's like when you think it couldn't get any sadder.
Yes, exactly.
Sadder.
So I wrote also that the way this book shifts between positive and negative is often so smooth that you don't realize things are getting better until you notice that some patterns are gone, much like in real life.
Ooh,
but the negatives
deep.
Are incredibly overwhelming at times. So it feels very real because it has a lot of ups and downs, but they're very well written. I mean, I think she's also a genius to be able to write like that.
That's my question to the author is, like, how do you understand?
Are you
like,
okay?
Are you okay?
Yeah.
And I know that this, she's received a lot of criticism for it because she really mm-hmm. loves to torture her characters.
It's a literary challenge.
Right. She has said in an interview, though, that she doesn't believe in therapy. So that's something that's...
Oh, no.
That's something that you can tell.
Well, one thing... Book. Yes. You one thing tell. Is that this book has very pessimistic portrayals of mental health. And
that's the point.
I don't love that.
Well, that's the criticism.
Yeah.
Right, you said it. Yeah. The mental health sometimes is very tortured in it.
You can tell
she has this
pessimistic view.
There's a very nice Vulture article about it saying, like, it's pointless torture. But then again, it's her story. She does what she wants with it. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Wow. A Little Life. Another, I think, 4.5.
Read it if you're curious.
Read
you know?
It if you're curious. Read it when you're in a good spot in your life. Please, yeah. please look up the trigger warnings before.
Yeah.
Don't
absolutely.
Don't go into this blindly. That's the worst thing you could do.
Yeah, just know what to expect. I didn't, so yeah.
Did you really not?
No,
no one had
not
told
really.
You?
Mm.
So you just picked it up and you're like, oh, what a beautiful book.
I kind of knew to expect something very intense, but I guess didn't know to what extent.
I think also like you have to have some maturity to realize
oh, yeah,
the
of
impact
course.
Of it.
Yeah, it's a book about life.
It's a book about life.
Yes.
There you go.
So, my next book is The Song of Achilles.
Oh, my goodness.
A classic, truly, I think. I mean, it's a classic in the book
Madeline
community.
Miller, right?
Madeline Miller. Another queen. So, Madeline Miller is incredible at mythology retellings, and her prose is some of the most beautiful I've ever read.
Mm-hmm.
Very similar to my next favorite book.
Uh-huh.
Stay tuned. But
but
The Song of Achilles is a retelling of the Iliad. That's my only Greek-related book. But of course, growing up in Greece, I am very familiar with Greek mythology.
Let's
the Iliad, the Odyssey.
Mythology.
Yes, I absolutely love
episode.
These stories.
Mm-hmm.
And The Song of Achilles is the story of Achilles and Patroclus. You know, friends, lovers. Historians will tell you they were besties. I do not know. Anyways, it's a very romantic book, in my opinion, and it's very sweet. It's very captivating and immersive. The writing is just beautiful is the best way to describe
right.
it. Like, it's a beautiful, beautiful book.
Right.
And it deals with love and loss and war and friendship
and boyhood
yeah
sure.
growing up boyhood for sure. It's just, you know, it's a really beautiful book. I
really
don't even think, like, don't hesitate, read that one.
What is very interesting is you should know, if you're not familiar with Greek or ancient Greece at all, homosexuality was something that was incredibly normal, right? Like, men had relationships with men, and it wasn't the connotation that it has today. And that's something that I remember when I recommended it to a friend and they read it, they were like, was Achilles really gay?
Like, it was just relationships.
It's a relationship, and I like that about it. And
yeah.
I think that this is what our modern day society lacks. It's this, if you're part of this label, then it certainly has to mean you also have to have all these characteristics. I mean, the island of Lesbos is where the word lesbian
exactly.
comes from.
Sappho.
Women had relationships with women.
We should do a podcast episode on Sappho, our
oh, there you go.
Poetry queen.
We love her. Things you missed in history class, right there.
Yes, that's so true.
Good
yeah.
point.
Mm-hmm. And that's where sapphic comes from, which I guess if you know the word sapphic, you probably know about Sappho. But
I also, this is so random, but I also used to think saffron was from the same word. It's very much
saffron.
Not, yeah, this the spice. This is very embarrassing.
I love
it. Anyway, we're going to forget I said that.
You heard it here first. The spice is gay.
There you go. Yeah. I would recommend it.
It's a 5-star read.
5-star read. Teenagers would love it.
I read as a teen. There I think go. I was like maybe 15.
You were 15. I remember.
I was reading it at school.
Yeah, I remember.
In class. And then I reread it in 2019 and I loved it just as much.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
And now it's been a few years again, so I can reread. It's just... Slay. And this book is just now getting popular in Greece. We just saw it at the bookstore today.
Yeah.
And it's... It,
and by the same author, Madeline Miller, Circe?
Circe, yes. Another great story.
It sounds so weird saying Circe.
I know.
I just think Kyriki.
In Greek, it's Kyriki, so I never know how to say it in English.
Right.
But
right.
Her prose is beautiful. She's like a poet.
Oh my goodness.
You haven't have read that gift. Circe, right?
I have not read Circe. I've read The Song of Achilles,
it's which very nice was as beautiful. Well.
And sad at the same time.
Yeah.
Needless to say, tell us about your final book on the list.
Final book on the list is another classic. It's The Great Gatsby by Fitzgerald.
Fitzgerald.
So Fitzgerald, I think, is one of my very favorite classic authors, mainly because of his prose. His prose is so beautiful. He's so gifted. And The Great Gatsby, I mean, you probably know, is a story about love and friendship and all of those nice things and yearning and just...
Actually, could you tell me a little more? I don't know anything about The Great Gatsby. I haven't watched the movie.
So, The Great Gatsby is about Jay Gatsby, a self-made millionaire, as it said here, because I looked up the plot to be accurate.
A self-made millionaire.
That's how
such
he...
Such an unnecessary. I mean, right? It is.
No, I mean, it is a bit
unnecessary. It's
the
start of any, like, self-help, like, guru book.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't have described it by...
Right.
It's a story of Jay Gatsby, a self-made millionaire. But he is that.
Okay, sure.
Slay Gatsby.
Slay,
oh my
good
god.
For you, dude.
So it tells the tragic story of Jay Gatsby... A self-made millionaire and his pursuit of Daisy, a wealthy young woman whom he loved in his youth. And it is told, is narrated by a character named Nick, who is a Yale graduate from the Midwest who moves to New York after World War I for his career. It is told in flashbacks and it's in the 1920s. It's a book about Jay Gatsby's relationship with Daisy, but also Nick's relationship with Jay Gatsby and... Uh-huh. They're just, you know, living life in the jazz age.
All right.
It's a very short book and very easy read, I'd say. And the prose is beautiful.
I don't remember
how many pages, but I feel like it's
short
200 or something.
Yeah. Is it difficult to read?
No, not really.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I love his prose. And it also was unsuccessful when it was first published, but now it's considered such a classic of American fiction. And it's often been called the great American novel, which is very interesting. I really like Fitzgerald's writing, and I know that Zelda, his wife, also wrote...
That's her name?
Zelda.
Zelda.
She also wrote, but I haven't read any of her writing, but I would love to.
I would love to read it too.
Yeah, I mean, if you're looking to read a great classic, then The Great Gatsby is a pretty good place to start. And it has one of the best closing sentences I've ever read, in my opinion.
Can you tell us?
Well, I don't want to spoil.
Okay.
You'll have to read it.
But
it's
beautiful. I guess
beautiful.
I will. No, I'll definitely read it. Okay, I like that.
We're done.
Sentences. We're done. I can't believe it. That
We've just
so
recommended
quickly.
11 books.
Have we really?
Yeah.
Wow.
We've recommended 11 books.
So, yeah.
That are all 5-star reads in our opinion, and
there
I think cover a lot of different
factual.
Moods and genres.
And I think so too. I think we got a lot of different recommendations for you guys, so.
Yeah, go pick one up.
Go pick one up right now. We're looking for Rex.
Yeah, always looking for recommendations,
ideas.
And
got,
now you know what we like.
Now we know what we like. We, on the other hand, have lots of other things we want to cover. And this is
lots.
Why we're starting this podcast, is because Zeri Philly and I were the only people who love in our circles reading. So,
to that
well,
extent,
I mean, not,
yeah.
To that extent, yeah, and who could just talk about it forever. So we thought we would share our love and passion with the internet. So.
We talk about books with each other so much that we're like, might as well just
yeah,
record this.
Might as well, yeah. What? Right, might as well record this conversation.
We met at a bookstore today.
We did. Tune in for next time.
We're going to be talking about a lot more specific themes, like We have a Sally Rooney episode. Mm-hmm. We have a Dark Academia episode. Mm-hmm. We're going to have just poetry episodes.
Ooh, the poetry episode. I think we're also looking to review, like, popular classics just to make sure that, like, we're covering everyone. And then, you know, we're looking for a wide range of audience. We're not just looking for bookheads like us.
We're going to keep it relevant.
There you go. Keeping it relevant, guys. So tune in for next time.
Bye. Thank you for everyone. Listening.
Peace.
Peace out.
Peace out.